Welcome to Our Noble Challenge. Pastor Eric Koonin now leads us in the study of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, his ministry partner, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, one who correctly divides the word of truth." Today we invite you to join us in your copy of the Scriptures as we examine together the Word of God under the direction of Pastor Koonin.
We're in a brief series on keys to studying God's Word. Important study for us. The Bible tells, Jesus said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." What do you live by? What is your food? What is your drink today? We want to be able to not only say, "Well, I go to a church that preaches the Word of God," but I want to be able to handle it myself. I was reading about a fellow by the name of A.J. Jacobs. Anybody ever hear of A.J. Jacobs? He's a humorist, an author, who does lifestyle experiments. He basically says he does them to improve his own life. He wrote a book called The Year of Living Biblically. Now, I'd like to tell you that after he wrote this book that he got saved. But apparently, it didn't happen. He is an agnostic Jew, and what he does is he sets aside an entire year to live by whatever lifestyle experiment he wants to try. And in this case, he said he was going to live by every rule in the Bible. So he went out and he went to a bookstore. He lives in New York City in Manhattan. Went to a bookstore and he said, "What kind of Bible should I buy? What kind of tools should I buy?" So he goes there and he says, "Well, if you don't want to look like you're reading a Bible," he said, "there's one that looks like a teenage magazine on the outside, but it has verses on the inside. So if you're riding on the subway and you don't want everybody to know you're reading a Bible, it can look like you're reading 17 magazine." So he picked up a bunch of them. He said, "You know, only in America where you don't want to look like you have a Bible in your hand." So, but here's some of the things that happened while he tried to live by all these rules from his perspective in the Bible, and including dietary laws in the Old Testament, Mosaic dietary laws, ritual cleansings, etc. One of the things he read about Leviticus was not to shave like the corners of your beard, so he grew this real long beard. And he read about some of the things. He read about cleansings. So he start refusing to shake hands with a lot of people so he wouldn't become ceremonially unclean. He read about stoning adulterers and sacrificing oxen. And he wondered how he can do all those things in New York City, you know what I mean? So he would carry little pebbles in his pocket, and if you thought somebody was an adulterer, he would get these little pebbles, and when they weren't looking, when their back was turned, you'd throw these little pebbles at them that they wouldn't feel. Apparently, it was such a popular book, Paramount Pictures has made some notion that they might make a movie out of this particular book. So, is this how we perceive the Word of God? You notice how here's a fellow who says, "This is how I study the Bible." And what he does is he begins to try to make it a rule book. And if you ever try to make a rule book out of the Bible, you will fail again and again. He tried to keep the Ten Commandments. He tried to do all these things, and he found it obviously very difficult, and sadly, it never led him to salvation. There are a lot of problems in studying God's Word, so let's talk a little bit about them this morning. I wrote down why I don't want to study God's Word. Do you have any problems in studying God's Word this morning? I think one of the prevalent problems that I hear about, even among people who are supposed to be well studied in the Word of God, is they have trouble studying the Word of God. I think sin is an obvious consideration. I was reading the old quote, and I'm told that John Bunyan at least had this in his Bible, so we're going way, way back a few centuries ago. But a lot of people put this in their Bible. Perhaps you did. It's the old quote that, make sure I get it right, since I was trying so hard to get it right. This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. How many of you have heard this quote before? Anybody have it in their Bibles? Yep, got at least one person that I think leaves it in their Bible. Yeah, it's a good saying. We find there is a lot of truth for it. If we want to look really easily why we don't study the Word of God, why we don't get into the Word of God, one of the reasons is sin. It's a very obvious, in-your-face reason why we don't. Sin will keep you from it. Sin will keep you from the Word of God. We find that when there's sin around in our life, it's tempting, it's compelling, it always captivates our life. We find the Word of God becomes less compelling. We find that the Word of God is something that begins to dim and fade into distance. We said, well, perhaps I know it well enough already. One of the temptations, and it could be listed under a doctrine of demons, is the fact that we think we know the Bible well enough already, and we don't need to look at it any longer. It's strange how we know all about food, but we still feed our mouths and stomachs how many times a day at least. Right? But boy, we always find that it's okay to lead back to that supper table, to lead back to the fast food place, to find the snacks, to eat, to say, hey, it's 11:05 in the morning and I'm hungry already. When are we getting out of here? But when it's time to feed on the Word of God, we find that sometimes we don't have much of an appetite. And sin is an overriding consequence of why so often we don't feel compelled to read God's Word. Well, what else? I want to move on quickly because I know these mornings take a little more time. And I confess, it is a big consideration. I think it's a tremendous sin sometimes when we feel in our heart that we don't need to get to the Word of God. I find when I have any desire to stay away from the Word of God, it's very convicting. I come to a place in my life where I say to myself, why am I staying away from the Word of God? Why do I want to stay from the treasures of my existence? I don't want to just come to it superstitiously. I need to hear from you, Lord. And I'm not going to get a revelation somehow where you're going to speak audibly to me or appear to me. I need to hear from you through your Word. Speak to me, O Lord. Do I need to have my daily bread and sustenance? I definitely do. And you do too. Well, we might with some of these thoughts of sin and how it strikes us, and why I stay away from studying the Word of God, why I do not want to get into the Bible, we might say, well, it's boring. I find the Word of God boring. You know, I open up my Bible, and I find when I open up the Bible, I look at it, say, boy, you know, I don't know what I read. And it's really not exciting. Boy, I've been wanting to listen to this music. Oh, this video is something I've been dying to do. Oh, I want to go call up my friend. I want to talk to somebody on the phone. Oh, I've got cleaning to do. I've got all these things. And I find that more exciting somehow than to get into the Word of God. And I wonder, in my heart of hearts, why we find the Word of God so boring. What has happened to my heart when I find it boring? Why isn't God speaking to me any longer that I find the Word of God so unsatisfying in my life? I'm willing to read all kinds of other things. I can read the Dispatch from cover to cover. I can read the sports section. You know, even though I have bees stinging my legs, I'll still read the sports section. It's amazing to me that we can always find something more exciting than the Word of God. Well, we live in a country that doesn't find the Bible very exciting, do we? I feel pretty certain about this. The church moves in the same direction as the world does. The church moves in the same way. If the world has a certain interest in certain things, so does the church. It's an amazing thing. You could almost always find the same problems that are out in the world in the church. It always comes in, doesn't it? And sometimes we think ourselves all right, rather godly, and yet somehow we are overcome by the world. And sometimes we say, well, I'm not being caught up by the world, Pastor, because I have the right haircut and I wear the right clothes and I hang around the right people. But sometimes you can still be worldly. You think and you act and operate like the world in many other ways. So be careful. I think the Bible takes a back seat in a large percentage of churches today. You say, Pastor, get with it, man! You know, we need shorter sermons, more music, and then we'll have something going on. Then you'll be more interesting too, instead of your lengthy sermons. Preach shorter sermons and have more exciting things going on. It's win-win all the way around. But you see, I don't want us to think like the world. One of the most important functions as the church gets together is the opening up of God's Word. I realize a lot of people have adapted to the lifestyle of the world and find the preaching of the world, the studying of the world, the teaching of God's Word is too boring. Well, the next thing I find is a lot of people say, I don't get anything out of it. You ever hear anybody say that? I don't get anything out of it. Yeah, sin's an obvious consideration. A lot of people say, I don't study it because it's too boring. But kind of hooked into the boring is I don't get anything out of it. I open up the Bible and it's the old, and we're going to talk about this in a couple of weeks, Lord willing. But a lot of people, their methods of Bible study is this. Well, I don't know what in the world's talking about here, but I read my Bible today. I'm not getting anything out of it. I just read a half a chapter of Leviticus right in the middle, and a half a chapter of Ezekiel in the middle of the book, and for some reason I don't seem to get anything out of it. What is our problem sometimes? Do you really expect to get something out of it when you don't even know what the context is that you're reading about? You don't even try to discern that perhaps that there's more to this passage than you're looking at. Yeah, I commend you if you're looking at the Psalms or a proverb. I've shared with you before, I used to tell my children when they were growing up, when they would say, well, I don't know what to read. I don't know where I should go. I would say, why don't you read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day for a month? If nothing else, perhaps it'll make you wise. There are certain things we ought to do, but we need to be a little more proactive about it. Do you open up the middle of a novel and say, boy, I'm not getting anything out of this novel. I'm not ever going to read anything out of this novel anymore. Page 150 just is really boring, and I don't want to get it. I was reading about a fellow also in New York City. I don't know if you heard about him. The title of this guy is A Manhattan Gold Digger. Most New Yorkers couldn't be paid to scrape up the mud from pavement cracks in Manhattan. But not only does Rafi Stepanian do it, he makes his living at it. What? The streets of 47th Street are literally paved with gold. Stepanian told the New York Post, explaining how he uses a butter knife and tweezers to scrape mud off the sidewalks and streets of New York's Diamond District to mine gold and precious gems from the milieu. In other words, from that stuff he's digging in. Stepanian, a freelance diamond setter, collects dirt wedged in concrete outside of jewelry stores on Manhattan's 47th Street, pans it in the style of an old-timey prospector, then sells the gold flakes, tiny diamonds, and gem flecks that have fallen off customers' bodies. During a recent six-day period, Stepanian found $819 worth of materials. One store owner quipped that, he says, probably half of it's mine. When you say you don't get anything out of it, you need to have a plan. You need to have a purpose. You need to be able to say, I'm willing to dig in. I need to be able to somehow work my way into the midst of what God is trying to tell me. If I need help, I will go to people and ask them to help me. Can I have a plan in studying God's Word? But don't just expect that somehow I'm going to dive into the middle of God's Word and it's all going to be able to come together for me. You need to have a plan as you study the Word of God. And so when you say, I don't get anything out of it, I have to ask the question, are you really trying? Hey, this guy, nobody else is doing this on 47th Street in Manhattan. But the guy has a plan. He's got a butter knife and tweezers, folks. What are you using? What is your plan? Should I take a butter knife and tweezers, Pastor? Or you need some butter knife and tweezers of your existence and studying. Of course, there's the infamous, I'm too busy. Here's another problem that people suggest that they have. I'm too busy, Pastor. And it kind of, they line up with each other. I'm too busy. I work all day. I come home. I'm exhausted. I need to get a meal on the table, or I want to eat. I play with my kids. And hey, before I know it's bedtime, I get out of bed. I work. I do some of the important things in my life. And before I know it, it's bedtime. Should I go back to the meal illustration? What do you think? Should I go back to the sleep? Do you think that it was important that Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God? What is proceeding out of the mouth of God? Where do I find that, Pastor? You find it in the Word of God. And when you say you're too busy, you're really not giving yourself a chance. I always find people's excuses in the spiritual life very enlightening. And believe me, in 30-some years of ministry, I think I have heard almost all of them. Every once in a while, somebody will surprise me with a doozy, if you know what I mean. But I've heard most all of the excuses, and most of them are repeated time and time again. I stand there and do not change the expression on my face. Or I will smile knowingly. But, folks, we find always the time to do the things that we want to do. Okay? It's so. We will always find time to do the things we really want to do. I know you're busy. I know you're busy. The sports fan always finds time for his ball game. The hobbyist always finds time for his hobby. There's just a lot of distractions in life today, and we've got to decide what's important to ourselves. Is it really important to study the Word of God? That is the question. Can we come to the conclusion? And if you don't come to the conclusion that studying the Word of God is important, this whole series I'm doing will go to waste. You will find no value in it, or if you find that you are content in your own life where you are at, and I'm not content in my own life, okay? I'm not content in my life. I make it a point to be committed to the Word of God. It's a point in my life. I am committed to God's Word. But if you have none of these inclinations, then this whole series will probably go to waste unless the Spirit of God captivates your heart. One other thing, and I'm going to go on real quickly into God's Word. I've lost my desire. I've lost my desire. I have no passion to study the Word of God. You can put a Bible in front of me. I don't care what translation it is. I don't care what you do. But I have no desire to open up my Bible. People tell me to study the Bible. People tell me, have your devotions. People tell me, are you reading through the Bible? People tell me to do all. I'll be honest with you, I don't have any desire to do that. Of course, I don't want to be honest with you about that, because then that might reveal that something is the matter with my spiritual life, and that's a little too much of a sensitive point in my life. So I'm not going to share that with you. Maybe I can have someone feed me. Realize that you need to learn to feed yourself. One of the things we try to do is to give you the Word of God. We try to feed you the Word of God. One of the important points of our coming together twice on Sunday, once on Wednesday, we try to feed you the Word of God. But you also make this. Take this down in your heart. One of the overriding points of all this is I want you to feed yourself. You that have children, is that one of the great moments of their early childhood development when your child begins to do what? He feeds himself, or she feeds herself. Let's talk about desire for the rest of this time. Let's talk about passion. We want to reignite our passion. Look with me in Revelation 2. Look at verses 4 and 5. When was the last time you thought about your salvation? Do you remember your salvation? How wonderful it is in your life? You remember how excited you were when you first got saved? You start thinking about heaven. You start thinking about the wonders of being saved. My sins are taken away. That heavy burden that I've been carrying is gone. Well, I've been telling some people in the last couple of weeks, it's an interesting point, and this church is unique from most churches that I've ever been to. This church is unique because there is a heavy percentage of people at Berean who are either saved as late teenagers or adults. Most churches will say the great percentage of their people were saved when they were kids. Most of the people at Berean were saved when they were adults. Now, I was saved as a kid by God's grace. But you know what? For some of you, there is still a fresh perspective. And some of you also were false converts, and this is many of your testimonies. In other words, you thought you were saved maybe when you were younger, and you kind of ran through that cycle, and one day you woke up and you said, hey, you know, I'm just being religious. I did it to please people. But I really don't know Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I do not know Him as my own. I have no relationship with the living God. The Word of God has never meant a thing to me. I only like it if Pastor tells stories about people digging for gold on 47th Street, or stories about A.J. Jacobs who tries to grow a beard like ZZ Top. Who's ZZ Top? Long beard, okay. In Revelation 2:4, have you forgotten the joy of salvation? You say, what does this got to do with the passion for the Word of God? They go hand in hand, don't they? A passion for the Word of God will come when you're saved. You will have, all of a sudden, interest in the Word of God. One of the problems, and I could have added into the problem listing, is the fact that sometimes we meet too many Christians who aren't interested in the Word of God, and so we say, why should I be interested? But I didn't put that on my listing, but I could have. There's always more, right? So in Revelation 2:4, speaking to the church at Ephesus, this is my hint for Sunday night services, because the church of Ephesus, we're in Ephesians, this is later on, but something happened to the church of Ephesus like most churches. In most churches, what happens is they move away from not only salvation and preaching about Jesus Christ, but they also move away from preaching about the Word of God, and they find some things that are more interested. One of the things about some of the Ivy League schools like Harvard and Yale and places like that, they were actually founded on the Word of God by Christians. They moved away from chapel services, from teaching the Word of God, and when you move away from God's Word, all of a sudden you find yourself without. And so we find here in Revelation 2:4, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. He says, I have something against you, because thou hast left thy first love, Jesus Christ. If you love Jesus Christ, you'll love His Word. Then he says this. He says, well, I thought this had something to do about forgetting the joy of salvation. He says, remember therefore, in verse 5, from where thou art fallen. Remember where you left. where you fell from. You have forgotten all of the wonders and the joys of your salvation. When you were thrilled with Jesus Christ, when you were thrilled about glory, when you were thrilled about the Word of God, when you were attuned to it, and you started to forget, you moved away from the truth. You no longer have a passion for the Word of God. And when you don't have a passion for the Word of God, guess what happens? You really are losing your passion for Jesus Christ as well. You lost your passion for Christ, and you lost your passion for the Word of God. I got to tell you, they kind of go hand in hand. Do you have a passion for Jesus Christ? Say, oh yes, Pastor, I do. In your heart of hearts, do you? How about, do you have a passion for God's Word? I got to ask you this question. And I'm very unfair from the pulpit in particular. I'm more at a distance. You can't get me here as well. You have to rush the pulpit. When was the last time you were excited over truth from the Word of God? Here's my big question. When was the last time you really got excited about a truth from the Word of God? God just opened up something in your Bible study, in your Bible reading, and you said, whoa, Nelly, I'm excited about this truth. When was the last time you were excited? Today? Was it last week? Was it last month? Was it really a long time ago? What does the passion look like? Whenever I begin, here's a little hint of what I have to do. One of my favorite psalms and one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, truly, is Psalm 119. When I begin to lose my passion for the Word of God, when I lose some of my passion in life a little bit, and I think we all have moments like that. I'm just being frank and honest with you. I'm not going to stand here and say I'm excited and passionate every moment of every day of my life. That's not how I function, because that's just not how we are. Have you ever read the 23rd Psalm? You all have. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? But do you ever notice the part where he says, he restoreth my soul? Do any of you ever need your soul restored? See, we all come to a place in our life, we got to go to a place to get our souls restored. We got to go to a place where we find the Lord needs to speak to me. The Lord has to get a hold of my heart again. I know when I'm not where I ought to be. Lord, speak to me. You need to kindle the flames of my heart and my existence for you again. I'm drab and I'm lifeless today. Help me, Lord, to be kindled again in the very depths of my being for you and your word, lest I cannot come up here and preach this today. I can't do it. And it's not like I am solely different from any of you. I need to know that I got to get back to the rock. I got to go back to the Word. I got to get my heart inflamed again. I fall down and I ask the Lord to help me. So Psalm 119, look at verse 9 through 6 real quickly. I got to run here. Slow start, quick ending. It says, wherewithal, in verse 9, shall a young man cleanse his way, or take any of us, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I got to take heed to it. I got to listen to it. Then he says this, look at this. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Is that passion or what? Your whole heart. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I want to be like David. And David didn't even have as much revelation as me. and talk about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit wants to kindle my heart. And he says this, "Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the ordinances of thy mouth. I have rejoiced." Look at this, the passion. "I'm rejoicing in the way of thy testimonies as much as in" what? "Riches." "Oh, I won the lottery! I won the lottery!" Hooray! How often you see this on TV? "Oh boy, look at those people. They're so excited." What did I see? One this past week, there was a group of guys that were getting laid off in Canada, like I don't know how many of them, and they won some kind of a lottery. Boy, were they happy. They each ended up winning like $400,000 a piece or something. I don't know what it was. "Oh boy, then I would be happy in my life. And then my life would have meaning and significance." Listen to me. If you're thinking that way, you've lost your way. The psalmist is wrong and the Word of God is wrong, and we might as well just live as the world lives. Our thinking is askew, it's sinful, and it's worldly. Come on. He says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies." What testimonies? The Word of God. "As much as in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes." I'm going to find my delight in the Word. I'll not forget thy Word. Then later on, verse 24, he says, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Oh, this is what passion looks like, 129 through 131. Boy, it's a long chapter. You don't expect me to read this whole thing, do you, Pastor? Hey, that's a great idea. Why don't you read the Psalm 119? Man, this will probably take you the better part of 20, 25 minutes. Well, I don't have 20 or 25 minutes. 129, sorry for my sarcasm. "Thy testimonies are wonderful, therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple." I like this. Look at this. Is this passion? "I opened my mouth and I panted, for I longed for thy commandments." Man. Then 162 says, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." Finds a treasure trove. Well, how am I going to get this passion, Pastor? Regaining our passion. Let's stay here for a moment in Psalm 119. How do I get it back? Let's look at some principles here to help us get it back. I would ask you to start out this way. You need to repent. I think it's a good place. "Well, I don't feel like I'm sinning that much. You said yourself that sometimes you lose your passion," and talked about Psalm 23 and restoring my soul. Yes, but you know what? I have to repent sometimes too. I have to confess my sin. I have to come back to a place. And I understand, listen to me, I understand where the treasures of my existence are. They're found in the words of God. I understand everything I need to understand about salvation. Is that not a treasure? It comes from God's Word. I understand the gospel. I understand how I should live a Christian life from the Word of God. I understand not only how I'm supposed to live, how I relate to God's people. I understand how I have a home eternal in glory. I need to understand. And the Spirit of God takes it and moves my heart afresh. Enlightens my load in this daily existence. It's a treasure. So in Psalm 119, 136, he says this when he doesn't. "Rivers of water," he cries, "run down mine eyes because they keep not thy law." Because I'm not doing what the Word of God says. I've stopped doing it. I'm not interested in the Word of God. I've just kept away from it. Revelation 2, 5. Remember that passage we were looking at in Revelation chapter 2, the church at Ephesus? In Revelation 2:5, he says, remember from where thou art falling, and then he says this, and do what? Repent. Confess it. Turn away from it and get it right. Second of all, back in Psalm 119, I've been kind of living in Psalm 119 with you this morning in Revelation 2, trying to expound these passages with you so that you will somehow understand the direction you need to go with the Word of God. I understand it's a big problem, our neglecting God's Word. You're not alone. Take it to heart, though. Don't say, well, good, other people are with me. I'm not alone. God won't hold it against me. Please, God desires that you will be people of the Word of God. So I ask you to come back. Will you do something? I'm praying that God will convict your heart today, as He will my own, that we'll be people of the Word. I'm not talking about cold orthodoxy. Real quick. We say to ourselves sometimes, well, we're not charismatic. We don't get, all of these sign gifts that we think have stopped. But we're so careful not to be excited and passionate about God's Word and the things of Jesus Christ that sometimes we become cold in our orthodoxy. You know what I mean? In other words, we say, yes, I'm a person of the Word of God. And we kind of just say, well, let me somehow write some graphs out for you about eschatology, about soteriology, about pneumatology, about all these other ologies, hamartiology, and all these things, and I'll tell you all about it, and we'll make a book course out of it, and then we won't be excited about anything. Listen, there has to be some passion in our heart, or the cold orthodoxy isn't enough. You need to know, but you need to be passionate about what you know. It has to ring home in the heart of your existence. Is it ringing home? Is the truth coming home? I hope so. Pray that God will help you. In verse 27, real quickly, and it says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Get a hold of my heart, Lord. He's calling out to God, so shall I talk of thy wondrous works. Make me, Lord, get a hold of my heart. I'm praying this end. Verse 36, he says, incline my heart. It's this prayerful idea unto thy testimonies. Incline my heart to it, Lord. Make me desire it. You see, there's a spiritual battle for your desires. You need the sword or you lose, folks. You need the sword or you lose. The sword is God's Word. We're finishing up in our series in Ephesians chapter 6. We're going into spiritual warfare. In 6:17 it says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take your sword. You need it. You're going to have a battle for all the desires of your life. You're getting yanked and pulled over here. You're getting yanked another direction. The flesh is calling out. The demonic is calling out. The world is yelling for you. And as you're getting yanked all over the place, you better arm yourself with the Word of God. Because some of you are about ready to fall off a precept. Because you don't think it important any longer. Don't forget salvation. Don't forget. Remember the joy, the passion of all those things. So finally I say, where are you going to drink? Where are you going to drink today? You're going to drink from the world? You need to come to the fountain. Come to the fountain of God's Word where you'll be quenched. We got to believe this. This is what we hang on to, folks. Well, we're going to go to a different fountain here now in a minute. We're going to go to the baptismal tank. May God get a hold of our hearts. May God give us a holy passion. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your word this morning. May it rest home in our hearts. May you captivate us afresh. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Our Noble Challenge. Our Noble Challenge is a production of Berean Baptist Church. Pastor Eric Coonan and the congregation of Berean invite you to join us when you can for a service of worship at 10:30 Sunday mornings. If you're interested in the Sunday school hour, you may show up at 9:30. We are located at 12985 Tollgate Road, Pickerington, Ohio, 43147. You can also reach our office by phone at 837-5204. Or join us on the web at BereanBaptistChurch.com. Berean spelled B-E-R-E-A-N, BaptistChurch.com. Until next time, goodbye and God bless you.